Today's edition of Heartbeat Today is brought to you by Camblin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. And here this morning, we'll start off by talking to Brett Holtz, Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Let us know what's going on at the shop. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Chris. Hey, when you're buying a furnace or air conditioner, you want to know that it's going to run properly and not going to give out at the first sign of nasty weather. But how can you really be sure? After all, it's not like you can look under the hood or take it for a test drive. When you buy a Lennox furnace or central air conditioner from Camblin Plumbing and Heating, you can trust that you're buying the very finest in HVAC equipment. The fact that Camblin Plumbing and Heating has carried the Lennox brand for over 70 years tells of our confidence in this brand. If you want that kind of confidence and reliability heating and cooling your home, give Camblin Plumbing and Heating a call at 243-1512 in Atlantic or at 755-3286 in the Harlan area.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brett. And here this morning, I was just going to touch a little bit here on some issues that might be things that people are dealing with here after the rainfall that we received yesterday. And, of course, we're anticipating more rain here over the weekend as well. So some folks might have to start dealing with water in places where they don't want water to be. And that would be sometimes into buildings or into your homes. And starting off, though, I wanted to remind you of a couple of flood warnings that are still in place in far southwestern Iowa. The Nishnabotna River near Hamburg is still under a flood warning, and that is expected to continue until Saturday night, as they're expecting minor flooding there. It's expected to crest just above flood stage in that location for that river. And then there also is a flood warning for the Missouri River near Nebraska City that's also affecting that Fremont County area as well. They're expecting minor to moderate flooding in that location, and it did have some of that yesterday with some flash flooding issues, and actually had a portion of Interstate 29 that had to be shut down for a little while yesterday due to the wet weather, but that has been reopened here this morning. So lots of heavy rainfall here around the state, and as we mentioned, flood warnings have been issued for several Iowa rivers here following that heavy rainfall. And the flood warning also continues as well for the Iowa River at Marengo here in the state, where the water was nearly 2 feet over flood stage here early this morning. And warnings are continued as well in the Des Moines area for the Raccoon and North Raccoon rivers, as they're expecting that to reach 2.5 feet above flood stage by this evening. And also, well, there were reports in Cedar Rapids that officers and other emergency workers responded to more than 20 vehicles that were stranded in flooded streets for a time on Thursday night, that the rain fell at a rate of 2 inches an hour in that Cedar Rapids area. So a lot of wet weather all around the state yesterday, and that, of course, now issues that people have to deal with. And if you do have to deal with any water in your home, or if it gets to the point where you are in an actual flood situation, the folks with Iowa State University Extension do have some great resources online. You can, of course, go to extension.iastate.edu, and I just search for dealing with flooding, and they've got a whole listed page. Of course, a lot of this was compiled for folks that were dealing with these issues here the last couple of years, but they've got anything from how to deal with your home to dealing with the different types of things that you'll have to process as you'll go through to get yourself some help. And also what you need to do with inspecting appliances, mold issues, just anything you can think of. They've got a topic and a resource for it. And also information in regards to garden produce and crops, how you deal with those types of things. Of course, dealing with if you have power outages that are related to that, and dealing with your food and livestock, private wells. There's all kinds of different issues that can arise. And they've got a good list of resources there for you that you can check out. And just a couple of things that we'll talk a little bit about here for you this morning. And if you're dealing with those issues, that some of the first things you need to do before you start any of that cleanup process, and especially if you end up with an actual flood situation in your home, you need to inspect for structural damage from the outside to determine if the house is, of course, safe to enter if that far into a situation. Watch for electrical shorts and live wires, and make sure that you're very safe with those things during a flood. That can be a big issue. Turn off outside gas lines at the tank or the meter and let the building air out for several minutes to remove any gas fumes you might run into. Wear sturdy shoes, rubber gloves, and eye protection. And, of course, if you think that mold is present, wear a respirator that can filter mold spores. And never mixed any chlorine bleach with ammonia or vinegar during your cleanup process. And you need to make sure that you see that everyone is out of danger of the new flood crest or in those areas, and contact your insurance company immediately. They give your information and let them know what's going on. You can need to take pictures of the damage before beginning cleanup, and keep accurate records as well. List all cleanup and repair bills, flood-related living expenses, and actual losses, such as furniture, appliances, and clothing. And the adjuster will assess damage to the house. The owner should sign a proof of loss statement, and additional damage can be added when it's found down the road as well. So those are just some early things to think about if you have a real flood situation that you need to take care of. And, of course, the structural condition is one of those big first issues that you need to get checked out. And one sign of foundation damage is floors that have settled or bulged. If the house or porch rests on an open foundation, make sure that the structure is not in danger of collapsing before you remove debris from underneath. And walls that show evidence of settling or cracking may have been undermined as well, and residents may have to dig down to the footings to reinforce or replace any that have settled. And when needed, you can fill under footings with masonry or concrete, not earth or gravel is the recommendation there. So that's a couple of things there once you're getting started. And of course, then it just goes on with a whole list of what you would need to do. And one of those issues that you're going to run into perhaps is mildew and mold. And if you have any of that, you can need to check it out. Use an air conditioner to remove moisture. In homes that are not air conditioned, open as many windows as possible and use fans to circulate air. And, of course, this would be a situation where if you just had some water in your basement as well. Turn on electrical lights in closets and leave doors open to dry. As long as dampness or high humidity is present, leave lights on to promote drying and prevent that mildew growth. And if you do run into that and you need to remove it, you can brush off mold and mildew growth outdoors to prevent scattering of spores in the house. Run a vacuum cleaner attachment over the area to draw out more of the mold, and discard the vacuum bag immediately. Sponge any remaining mildew with thick suds, wipe with a clean, barely damp cloth, and wipe the mildew-stained area with cloth dampened with diluted alcohol, and then, of course, dry thoroughly. And spray with fungicide or other commercial disinfectant. You can use a low-pressure spray containing a fungicide to get rid of musty odors and remaining mildew. Moisten all surfaces thoroughly. Respray frequently if mildew is a continuing problem, and spraying rooms with an aerosol material will not eliminate any of those mildew problems. And if molds have grown into inner parts of furniture, send that furniture to a dry cleaning or storage company for thorough drying and fumigation, and that will kill those mold spores present at the time, but will not protect against any, of course, future attacks. So you'll have to always keep an eye if you run in that situation again. So just a lot of things that you need to think about if you're dealing with those issues. And just keep those in mind, and keep those resources that you have in mind as well with the folks at Iowa State University Extension. And they can get you some of that information on how to take care of those things as well. And also just a couple of notes, because this is something that I'm sure that folks are wondering about as well. If you're into these really wet weather runs, what can you do with the garden that was maybe covered by water? And, of course, maybe you have some things that were already ready to go to get pulled out of the ground, and you didn't do so before that water runs in there. If you really are in a situation where you have floodwaters, they can contain or have bacteria, viruses, parasites, and chemical toxins. And if those have covered a garden, most produce will be unsafe to eat. So if you run into that situation, you're probably out of luck with that food. Safety will depend on the kind of produce, the maturity of the produce, and the time of year that the flooding occurred, the severity, duration, and bacterial content of the water, along with the likelihood of contamination from sewage or other bacterial contaminants. Early in the growing cycle, most fruits and vegetables exposed to floodwaters should be safe to eat by the time of harvest, so if it's something that's early on, you might be all right there. And a general rule of thumb regarding safety is to allow at least 120 days between harvesting produce that has been flooded. And of course, for additional safety, you'll wash products thoroughly before eating. Cooking will reduce levels of most bacteria but will not destroy chemical toxins. And do not eat fruits and vegetables that were in contact, direct contact with that flood water. So that's just a few notes there. Kind of a summarization that they put out is that some produce in contact with floodwaters may be used if it's early in the growing cycle and if a harvested product is washed and cooked prior to eating. But, of course, make sure that you're looking up information on that specific item and what the issues are. And they have plenty of resources on that as well from Iowa State University Extension. And they have, of course, their Hort line that could answer a lot of that information for you. That number is 515-294-3108. And their answer line is 1-800-262-3804. Two good resources there to get you some of that information. So a lot of folks dealing with that out there. And, of course, it looks like that's going to be a continued problem. And, Brett, I'm sure you run into some of these situations sometimes with folks.
Yeah. You know, furnaces and water heaters, if they're underwater, have them checked by a professional. A lot of times if they've been damaged and they've got sewage water or anything like that in them, there is no cleanup. It's just time to replace.
Time to
so,
get those out of
there. How much rain did we get yesterday, Chris?
Our total for the two-day period, so if you start from the early morning hours yesterday, we got to 2.76 inches of rainfall.
I think you got a hole in your rain gauge.
Yeah, there certainly were some places that picked up a lot more than that. I know that. We had one period where we hit a really one of those heavier rate showers, but other areas I think even had higher amounts, if you can believe it or not, from what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to say closer to four up in my area.
Yeah,
town,
it could be, so. Could be true. Could be true.
Yeah.
All right, well, let folks know what's going on in Campbell.
All right. Hey, troubleshooting a furnace or air conditioner takes a technician that knows what he's doing. An unqualified technician can only cost you money at today's labor rates. Come to Trust in Camlin Plumbing and Heating, a company that's been around since 1918, curing all kinds of problems on all brands of equipment. With as much time as we have been in business, Camlin Plumbing and Heating has tackled some of the hardest problems in the area in the past. We've created the confidence that so many of your neighbors and friends have spoken about. Give us a call, give us a try next time, and you have a problem, and I lost my place here. With any of your heating or cooling equipment, you will be pleased. In Atlantic at 243-1512 and in Harlan at 755-3286. The thought for the day today comes to us from Henry Van Dyke. Use what talents you possess. The woods would be a very silent place if no birds sang except those that were the best.
All right. Very good. Thanks a lot, Brett. Appreciate you coming in here this morning. And also, I want to, of course, give everybody a well wish if you're dealing with any of that water out there here around the area. Of course, we're not in any real flooding situations anywhere yet, but there might be some folks that ran into a lot of water in places that they didn't want it to be and might still be here because we have some rain coming in, looks like, over the weekend as well. So make sure you're taking proper steps to deal with that. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Go out and great day and a great weekend.